Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 8th of July, recording at 9:15 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today in stock markets. So we've seen lots of selling pressure bucking the trend. Australia just managed to close 1 point up on its index. That's percentage gain of 0.03%, but that was a stellar performance in a region where stock markets fell, and we saw some chunky declines, including Japan's Nikkei down 2.35%. Next best performer that I noticed was China, although it was down on the day. It was down very slightly and closed near the highs of the day, rather than being anywhere near the lows. Elsewhere, the European stock markets were weaker across the boards. Declines of 2% down to less than 1% on average. Wall Street was in the red most of the day, but managed to close, well, mixed. The Dow up 14, the S&P down 1.5, and the NASDAQ up 1 point. Bigger drama elsewhere. The commodity rout really continued in here today. Gold and other precious metals were all weak. They closed off the lows, but still with some chunky declines. Gold, for instance, is at 909. That's down $15.70. The agricultural commodities were mostly hit hard. Soybeans, in particular, a big downward move there. Although we saw, I think wheat managed, one of the few commodities to manage a small gain, so did sugar. Now, crude oil, which has fallen significantly recently, touched $60 in here today, down another $2.70 as I speak. That's at $60.23, so that's a big hit. And natural gas has fallen right back to test its lows, $3.37 on the spot price. And industrial metals, they have also weakened sharply. Okay, so what can we say about it all? Well, I think in part this reflects more than a dose of economic reality coming back to the markets. Where we had so much talk of green shoots, I think partly as a rationalization for what was, by pretty well everyone's terms, a surprisingly robust rally. And then it all started to unravel in early June, as you would have seen on the charts, and as we have commented in comment of the day, and also in the audio. So overextended rallies causing lots of people to interpret this as economic recovery, or at least a lead signal for economic recovery. It is, but the trouble is, as I've said before, there was a credibility gap developing, a big credibility gap between the performance of stock markets and the likelihood of any significant economic recovery in the next couple of quarters. So a lot of those green shoots have been seen as mirages, and this is a reality check which has some positives and some negatives. Certainly stock markets are extending their overall reaction phase. Now, I had mentioned before being away on Friday and afternoon and also yesterday, I'd been saying that to reaffirm a deeper correction, which we were looking for. Watch for breaches of those reaction lows that we saw in June. Now, that has occurred earlier this week, and some of those breaks beneath the June reaction lows, where there were June reaction lows, have been quite sharp. In other words, we've seen some downward dynamics in these stock markets, and I think we can divide them into two camps, really. That the fuller money themes, largely, which had done so well and that had bottomed out in October of last year and then gone into base formation development and then were showing very significant bull runs up until last month, or this month in the case of China, which is still within striking distance of its high, albeit quite overextended. Those markets remain susceptible, including China, susceptible to reversion to the mean in terms of the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, they may not get back that far, or they may get, some of them may see that at least partial mean reversion in the form of sideways ranging activity. But there's quite a high probability that it will involve some additional downward reaction. So those are the top tier markets, and they will include certainly the Asian emerging markets. They will include the South American resources markets and some other resources markets. They will include technology sectors for the most part, but they will not include any of the OECD markets. Now, those OECD markets, very much in the second tier group, never confirmed completed base formations, as I've mentioned over and over again. So they are all in a pullback and base formation extension phase, or at least what I hope will be a base formation extension phase. I think it probably will, but I have to repeat that we need to see this pullback retain a fair portion of the gains that were achieved from the March lows to have convincing evidence that it is base formation extension activity. Now, if we were to see a retracement of more than 50% of those gains off the lows, that would not guarantee that it was, or not ensure that it was no longer base formation. But as I've said before, it would ask questions. But technically, it's not impossible that markets could go all the way back down towards those March lows in a retest, just as we saw, for instance, in the last base formation, it was around March of 2003, when some of the stock markets went back down, some of the lagging stock markets at any rate went back down and looked at their October 2002 lows before rebounding quite strongly. Now, I'm not forecasting that they'll get back down to those lows. I'm just saying that we are certainly going to see, at minimum, some base formation extension, and that this could last really for a number of weeks or even months. How many months? Well, it could carry into October, for instance. Now, having seen breaches by most of these OECD stock markets of the those June reaction lows, what would we have to see, rather, on the charts to indicate that, well, no, they weren't going to see anything like a 50% retracement of the gains off the March lows. They were going to stay firmer and get their base extension at the higher levels of the pattern. It's an unlikely scenario, in my view, but not an impossible one. And not an impossible one, because we certainly have a great deal of liquidity sloshing around in the markets, And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw some additional stimulative packages, and I'll explain why in a moment. But we would need to see clear upward dynamics signaling downside failures beneath those June reaction lows, and that certainly has not occurred on the charts yet. But that's what we would need to see to indicate that this particular phase of the reaction, and quite possibly correction, is behind us. Now, why might governments be tempted to come back with additional stimulative programs? Well, once having embarked on that course, something I've said for many months, once having embarked on this course of quantitative easing, they were going to continue to do that until they actually succeeded. Now, their hand has been stayed by time to, or restrained from time to time, by talk of green shoots, hope that there were signs of genuine economic recovery out there. And as I repeat, those have been few and far between. It's just really been a case of economies looking less bad overall. They have also been restrained by talk of inflation, by previously rising long-dated government bond yields, and also by rising commodity prices. Now, you know my view on commodities, that they will tend to lead on the upside when we see the bullish phases in this cycle for asset classes. They will certainly be among the leaders on the upside, along with stock markets. But they're highly volatile, and so they'll also pull back quite sharply when we see people retreating to cash or upping their purchases of long-dated government bonds. And that's happening right now. A lot of money had come out of long-dated government bonds, and just government bonds generally. A lot of money had come out of those positions to help finance the gains in stock markets, and also speculative activity in commodity markets, which was spurred by some very astute and aggressive buying by China when commodity markets were right on their back earlier this year. But China has clearly pulled back, not surprisingly. It's playing the buy low, sell high game, like any astute investor. So that Chinese demand has certainly disappeared for at least the short term. And some speculative money is coming out of commodities now, and therefore central banks do not have to worry about commodity price inflation in the at least in the short term, and possibly the medium term. Now, my view is we'll get choppy action, as I've already said, with when asset prices are appreciating generally, that commodities will be very much to the fore. But I don't think we will see anything like a commodity bubble until we next have the global economy synchronized in a period of expansion. That will happen, but not this year. So we're currently seeing these commodity prices retreating in what is most likely to be a base formation extension phase overall. Excuse me, I'm just going to take the headset off and have a quick cough. Back again. And therefore, without fears of commodity price inflation, at least for the short term, and with long-dated government bond yields no longer rising, governments will feel that they can come back with additional quantitative easing if necessary. And will they find it necessary? Well, Gordon Brown in the UK certainly indicates, is indicating that he does. And I think governments will certainly respond with further packages. They'll respond to rising unemployment, which is certainly running ahead of official forecasts. And they will also, I suspect, respond to weak stock markets. For instance, let's say the S&P gets back down to 800. It could easily do that. It's at 880 right now. But it could easily get back to that 800 level. That would probably be a decline of about 16%. I think we saw 960 or thereabouts being the high on the S&P 500 index. So, further pullback, less evidence or talk at least of green shoots, additional government stimulative packages that could fuel asset price rallies in the fourth quarter of this year. That's really what I expect at this stage. But this is a difficult time in markets, as I've mentioned before. But remember that all change signal that we talked about at such length that occurred on the 3rd of June. That's when precious metals peaked, when we also saw the rise in long-dated government bond yields peak. It is also when we saw the dollar, which had been quite weak, stabilize, and commodities generally, I mentioned precious metals, but commodities generally saw some weakening, particularly in the agricultural sector, with the grain and bean complex falling back quite sharply. Now, those trends are still in force. In other words, long-dated government bond yields are still coming down, and I think they will, while stock markets remain susceptible to further reaction and consolidation. And we may well see some additional weakness in commodity prices over the short term, in line with that stock market retreat. The US dollar is the trickier one because it's range bound, really. But at the moment, the dollar is testing the higher side of its range overall. I think we're unlikely to get spectacular moves in any of the currency markets short term. But at the moment, the dollar is firm, as I say, within its current trading ranges. Therefore, we can't rule out the possibility of a little bit more appreciation by the greenback. I think that's pretty much it here today. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you, and have a look at Richard Carnes' report, which I will be posting shortly.